and to trust them and to empower them to do what they're doing. I think we would do ourselves a disservice if we continue to kind of go right back down into the weeds of things. But we have a fantastic operations minded.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. And on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with Annie Carolla. Annie is the Global Director of TA at Gensler. Annie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about our conversation. Let's start out and just share a little bit about your background, specifically how you got started in talent acquisition and some of the roles that you've held leading up to your current role at Gensler.
Yeah, you bet. I grew up in Kansas City, and right out of school, I had the opportunity to work at a large AEC firm, which is Architecture, Engineering, Construction. And while there, my role was really rooted in human resources. So it gave me the opportunity to learn all the functional areas of HR and what's under that HR umbrella. And so it gave me great exposure to all of those things. And I quickly realized that there were aspects of HR that I didn't necessarily love or felt passionate about, but certainly appreciated. And I think the area that I naturally gravitated towards was talent acquisition. I figured that out pretty quickly on. And so I wanted to really take a pivot and move into that part of the profession while really, again, appreciating the HR business aspect of things and how the HR business really connects to the broader business as a whole. I think that exposure for me was really eye-opening to see while at that firm. And then I relocated to Dallas. And while I was in Dallas, I had a chance to work for a large architecture firm. And that translated very nicely from the large AEC firm. And this architecture firm gave me the exposure to more of the pure design industry, the architecture and design industry. And I gained just such a huge, vast appreciation for the architecture space, for the work that the architecture and design industry has within communities, within local communities, within broader cities. And I felt an immense amount of pride around that kind of work. And while I was there, I recruited, you know, many of the folks that are still there today and led the talent acquisition function, grew the TA team, and provided a lot of HR leadership there. And I did that for just over 10 years and then found my way over to a larger architecture firm, also rooted in Dallas, and they were the third largest in the U.S. And so while I was there, had a similar opportunity to really grow the talent acquisition function, really expose the firm to more broader TA aspects, grow kind of a smaller team, and provide some leadership. After 3.5 years there, I actually then had a chance to come over to Gensler, which was certainly unexpected, but probably the best pivot that I could have made professionally. I stayed in the architecture industry, and Gensler is actually the largest and top architecture and design firm in the world. So we are nearing 7,000 team members around the globe. We have 53 different offices. And as their global director of TA, I get to provide a lot of the vision and strategy around the work that we do across the firm. And obviously that's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. I think the thing that I've probably taken the most pride in is coalescing a team across the globe. When I started about, I guess, just over 18 months ago, we had about 13 or 14 people in the TA space and everyone kind of resides in their own unique regions, which is how we are structured here at the firm. And after about 16 months, we had a team of 40 people across the organization. So that was quite a bit of growth within our own talent acquisition community in order to support the growth of the broader firm.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of great work to kind of build out that team and lay the infrastructure for improved delivery. We've talked a lot in the past about some of the initiatives that you've led in addition to building out the team. If you wouldn't mind sharing some of those over the last 18 months, other things that you've done, you and your team, to kind of bring you to where you are today.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the strategic initiatives that we had was to really look at our talent branding efforts. And when we think about Gensler and our name, our brand out there to people, it wasn't necessarily being showcased externally the way that we wanted it to. Even if we were a household name to some extent in some of our locations, perhaps the talent brand wasn't matching up to the marketing brand. And so we did work with our marketing team to really evaluate the way that we were showing up externally to talent. And so today you'll see a completely refreshed careers page on our website. I think that anchors us down to express our brand and the way in which we want to show up as Gensler around the firm. And then we're looking at the way that we show up from a brand standpoint in other countries. We have, as I mentioned, 53 different offices, and many of those are international countries. And so we want to be sure that we are showing up as a unified Gensler across the myriad of locations that we are in. And that means that we have to think about those unique cultures and the competitors that we have there, how social media is conducted in those particular locations. So a number of variables that we have to be very thoughtful of, so we can then understand the right way in which we want to show up. So talent brand has been a big strategic push that we've made here. We've also been thinking a lot about our strategic hiring efforts because of economic ebbs and flows that are happening around the globe. In some places, it's starting to slow down a little bit. In other places, we are still moving fast and furiously. But with that, we really do want to be sure that we're still focused on strategic needs that we have at the firm, regardless of economic conditions. So that's been a major focal point for the organization in identifying all of those strategic positions. Another area that has kept us incredibly busy and really rooted in all of the work that we're doing is around diversity recruitment. And I know that every single organization that you probably talk to is looking at some version of diversity recruiting. And so we're not different in that respect, but I think the way in which we're doing it, there is some level of nuance and uniqueness there. We are also really interested in that intersection between strategic recruitment and diversity hiring. So does this give us an opportunity to change the composition of our leadership at a more senior level? And those are the kinds of conversations that we're really engaging in right now to see where we can move the needle with that level of individual. I think there's a lot of work done there with intentionality, and we have to be very mindful of the way in which we do that. We've also been talking about a strategic recruiting framework. And with that, we take what we call a caretaker method and apply kind of a white glove service to the recruiting process, which means that we will curate a candidate experience for specific individuals that we are recruiting. And with that kind of method or with that kind of care taken into consideration, we'll make it very difficult for somebody to not want to work for Gensler, because that recruiting experience and that candidate experience for them is so meaningful and so customized for that person.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Would you mind sharing like specific example of how that would show up or what that experience would look and feel like for a candidate? What's an example of that you have done from a white glove perspective?
Yeah, I love that you asked that, because I think it's shown up a number of different ways, and no two scenarios have been identical because it's curated for the individual. And we all understand in the world of recruiting that it's a customized thing. We can make it transactional, and there are some transactional pieces and components that are important to be a part of it. But we want this work to be done transformationally. So what we mean by that is when we're talking with a candidate and they are perhaps considered for a healthcare leadership position, and through the exploratory conversations with them, if they say that they have a great deal of interest in sustainability, we may hear that, put that in our back pocket and say, okay, interviewing team, this person really needs to meet with one of our sustainability leaders because it's a place that they're incredibly passionate about. We'd love to tell them a little bit more about the work that we're doing that's currently taking place and on the horizon. And so let's put a sustainability leader in front of them so we can spark their interest even more with this work that we know we are doing well. So that's just kind of an example of, we'll listen to the candidate and base a lot of what next steps take place dependent on what is interesting to them.
That's great. That's really powerful. And the personalization through that process and knowing that they're heard and they're valued and that you can align their experience to what they need, that's extremely powerful from a candidate perspective. So kudos to you from that perspective. What are you and your team seeing right now as kind of some of your biggest challenges in the market?
Well, I mentioned one of them. I think that one's just the most top of mind. It's finding strategic leaders and finding amazing, diverse candidates. In no way are those mutually exclusive. It's a both and situation. We can find amazing people and amazing diverse people. And so that's the biggest focus. But I will say that it is difficult in part due to the fact that there are not a lot of diverse candidates within the design profession. And so what we find is, you know, we are competing against those stellar candidates with all of our competitors. In addition to that, we're kind of up against the wall to a certain extent, depending on the locations where we are recruiting, because the local community and the market may just inherently have a smaller, diverse population to draw from. Certainly not an excuse, but a challenge and an obstacle that we have to overcome. And then that means we just have to develop strategies with more intentionality behind them in order to get in front of the people and the talent that we're really interested in. But it does pose a challenge. And I think a long-term kind of obstacle there is the question of how do we then influence our future talent pools to become more diverse? And there's this real sense of responsibility that we have in the talent acquisition space to influence those individuals. And so our people will get in front of younger and younger students well before individuals get into high school even. So we can teach them about the design industry and tell them what we might be doing and getting involved in organizations that underrepresented people that could be interested again in the design field in future years. So we're doing our part really to influence those that will want to hire 5-10 years down the road. It's a long game type of work for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And I understand you're continuing to work and build that capability. Is there another area, another key initiative that you see kind of a key area of focus for your team looking into the future as you start thinking about the capability that you built, the gaps that you might have, or the needs that you might have in your organization going forward? What's another initiative that you and your team are looking at going forward?
You know, I don't know that it's a fully thought out initiative yet, but I think one area that we think about quite a bit in the TA space is we get involved right up front, right? We're oftentimes the first point of contact, or we're involved in the interviewing and recruiting process, but everything's done prior to that individual being hired typically. What we oftentimes, though, want to also do is be a part of that individual's candidate journey and team member journey. So just because they get hired doesn't mean that we want to completely lose contact with that person. And oftentimes here, my CHRO and I oftentimes say that recruiting and retention are like conjoined twins. So they certainly go hand in hand. We want to be sure that we're playing our part in the retention piece as recruiters. And so that might mean that we keep in touch with those individuals that we've helped hire down the road, that we're still a safe and soft landing place for them. If they have questions about the organization or how to navigate something, that we can still be trusted advisors to them beyond the hiring experience. And I think that there's an opportunity there for us to be a part of that retention for that individual, because we are first and foremost a people first place here at Gensler. And we're very big on relationship building. So it's hard to pass that baton fully to somebody else once we've gotten that person to accept our offer. We really would like to stay in touch with that individual. And I think we need to find a vehicle in order for us to continue to do that. Because if you continue to recruit and then lose people, the churn of that doesn't necessarily help your growth overall. So if we could still be an extension somehow as a trusted advisor to that individual once they've been at the firm for a while, I think we have an opportunity there to fill a really nice gap.
Yeah, that's a great initiative, highly strategic initiative. Lots of organizations are really focusing on retention efforts and how you can creatively look at engaging relationships and feedback loops and things to make sure that you retain the individuals in the organization so you're not continually looking at net new candidate flows coming through. And so I think that's great. That's a really important initiative. Thank you for sharing. Last question I'd have for you is, what's a piece of advice or a couple pieces of advice that you'd like to share with the audience? Maybe something that somebody gave you before, something you've learned along the way in talent acquisition. What's something that some advice that you'd like to share with other TA professionals that are listening to the episode?
That's a great question. There are a number of things that I keep in mind or that have been valuable pieces of advice given to me. I think the one that really floats to the top for me, though, is around, in a leadership capacity, I'll say in the role that I'm in, to stay high level and connect with your people. And when I say stay high level, what that means is that you've hired this team to surround you, and we've coalesced this amazing center of excellence with a number of team members around the world, and to trust them and to empower them to do what they're doing. I think we would do ourselves a disservice if we continue to kind of go right back down into the weeds of things, that we have a fantastic operations-minded group of people and allowing them to do what they're supposed to be doing. So partially it's getting out of other people's way in order to accomplish things and be the leadership support and the mentor that they need in order for all of those projects and initiatives to get over the finish line. So try your best to stay high level and provide the support and leadership that you need to. I think it's, for some people, a little difficult to do, particularly if you've been in the weeds and you've been recruiting day to day and things like that. But if your role is to stay a little bit higher, talking with leadership, presenting on things, to stay in that space so everyone else can really flourish and be empowered to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's great advice. All of us as leaders, especially those of us who've spent a lot of time in TA, tend to dive really deep sometimes. That's not always helpful. And so helping cast a vision, support your organization, influence the rest of the organization to remove roadblocks and influence them to get the organization what it needs to be successful is really great advice to stay high level and think strategic and enable the performance of your team. So I think that's excellent piece of advice. Thank you for sharing.
I think the connectivity piece was the other one that is briefly mentioned. And what I mean by that is, I think it's easy to say, hey, keep in communication, be sure everybody's collaborating, but ensuring that that is actually happening. I think that connectivity is so instrumental in the success of the team, and to be sure that those lines of communication are open and that people feel a sense of psychological safety to bring topics up, and that they know that you've got a culture of learning and that you've got a culture of, hey, it's okay to make mistakes because we're all kind of learning, and through those experiences, we'll all get better together. So I think communicating and relationship building with your team members, regardless of how many you have, to the best of your ability to try to stay connected with all of them, I think here it's been incredibly meaningful.
That's another great piece of advice. Thank you. Well, Annie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate your time and you sharing a little bit about your journey with the audience. And as always, it was a really fun conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.